How many of you like to watch those shows where they remodel? They'll either rebuild or remodel those homes. Any of you watch those type of shows? I don't personally watch those. I've seen a few episodes here and there, but I looked it up and I was surprised at how many of them there actually are. Well, as some of you know, the Bible camp in California that I used to always go to as a kid, it recently burned down. And it's kind of sad, but I'm sure that they'll just rebuild it. And of course, from time to time, a town or a city will be damaged or destroyed by a hurricane or a tornado or an earthquake, fire, flood. In other countries, maybe even war, then they just have to rebuild it. They have to rebuild it one structure at a time. Well, today we're going to be reading about rebuilding a wall. Wow, that sounds exciting. After we're done, can we watch some paint dry? No, it's not really about the wall itself. It's not the wall itself we're concerned with. It's about how Nehemiah got it done and how he overcame the opposition and how he overcame the difficulties. And so if you would, let's be opening up our Bibles to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, and it's on page 352 in the Pew Bibles if you want to use one of those. Jim Lovell, retired captain of the U.S. Navy and NASA astronaut. And he was actually the commander of the Apollo 13 mission, which they made a movie about. He once said, "There are people who make things happen. There are people who watch things happen. And there are people who wonder what happened." To be successful, you need to be a person who makes things happen. Well, Nehemiah, our character for today, was a successful person. He was a person of action and leadership. Now, you may be thinking, well, how does this apply to me? I'm not aspiring to be an elder or a preacher or some great leader of God's people. I just want to be one of God's people. But it does apply to you because we're all leaders from time to time. There's always someone younger who looks up to us. And you remember what Paul said the older women are to do in Titus chapter 2. And what about with our children and grandchildren and so forth? And then, of course, there's always something to do in God's kingdom where we could take the initiative. Well, before we begin, we need to define what a leader is. Because many people simply think that a leader is someone who gets to boss others around. Now, that's not what I would call a leader. A leader is someone who is going somewhere. Others see it and want to follow. A leader is someone with passion, who really believes in what he or she is doing, and someone who's not afraid to take action. See, others, they see this person and they can't help but want to follow. Okay, let's start with just a little bit of background. Nehemiah, whose name means the Lord is consolation, he was a descendant of the Jews who had been taken to Babylon, taken into the Babylonian captivity. And when Cyrus defeated the Babylonians and the Medo-Persian Empire became the world power, well, he told the Jews that they could go home and they could do their thing. But they didn't all go. Many of them stayed. And I don't know, maybe, you know, they whatever reason, they had made a home there. They preferred the comforts of the land. Maybe they had attained positions of importance or wealth. Who knows? But the events in Nehemiah, they happened not too long after the rebuilding of the temple in the book of Ezra and after Esther saved her people in the book of Esther. And you'll notice that the book of Nehemiah, it consists of these two main parts. And some people describe it like this. The first part deals with the reconstruction of the walls of the city for protection, chapters 1 through 6. And the second part deals with the reinstruction of the people in the ways of the Lord, chapters 7 through 13. Well, today we're just going to be looking at the first section of this book. We're going to try to figure out why Nehemiah was so successful and what made him such a great leader. And I found 14 qualities. They used to say a good sermon has 3 points in a poem. This one has 14 points and no poem. Unless, of course, I get inspired and I make one up just right at the moment. Not likely. That's not likely going to happen to make one up on the spot. But, you know, 14 points, how long is this sermon going to last? No, it's going to be a normal length sermon, give or take an hour or two. Don't worry, I'll make sure you beat Green Tree to the restaurant. All right, first, we have Nehemiah's grief in chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Now, on the sermon worksheet, you notice on the front there's the outline, on the back there's the qualities. It says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came. Now keep in mind, I am pronouncing these things with an American accent and an American pronunciation. They would not say them the way that I'm saying them. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem. They said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Okay, Susa, that was the winter residence of the Persian kings, about 150 miles north of the Persian Gulf in present-day Iran. And so, okay, what's he doing here? What's he doing in this place? Well, at the end of chapter 1, we can see that he mentioned that he was a cupbearer to the king. And that's kind of like a glorified guinea pig for any drink that's served to the king, because they had to test it first for poison. But they were among the king's most trusted servants. It was actually a very prestigious position, very valued. And the thing is, even though he was serving as a cupbearer in a foreign land, well, his mind and his heart, they are with his people back home. And so the first quality is that Nehemiah had a passion for his people. If you don't care about your people, then you're most likely not going to be a good leader. Well, looking at the text, he had obviously assumed that everything was hunky-dory. You know, everything was just going great back in Jerusalem, and so this news, it just rocked his world. These were not the words that he expected or wanted to hear. The city walls in ancient times, very important. They were vital to keep it safe. Now, as we're going to see, it didn't just upset him. You know, he decided to actually do something about it. And so here's the second quality. Nehemiah was willing to step up to the plate and to take on the task. When many people would have just said, oh, no, isn't that a shame? And then just moved on. And I'm reminded of Isaiah. In Isaiah 6:8, here am I, send me. It's so easy to look around and nudge your neighbor. Or to think, let someone else do it. I'm too busy with whatever Satan's got me doing. Here am I, send me. How few say that? If you see a need in God's kingdom, you can assume that it will eventually get done by somebody, or, like Nehemiah, you can go for it. All right, so Nehemiah's prayer, verses 5 through 11. So let's continue reading it. Pay attention here to what he said. I said, I beseech you, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear now be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you. I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word which you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, even though those of you who have been scattered were in the most remote parts of the heavens, I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. Most of that comes from the book of Deuteronomy. They are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name. And make your servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man. And so the third quality is that Nehemiah was a man of prayer. And as we're going to see, he was constantly asking God for help. Well, we can also see from verse 4 that he was fasting, so he's going without food. And so this is very important to him, all right? This is serious. All right, so what do we find in his prayer? Well, we find praise and adoration of God, confession of sin for his nation, but also for himself and for his family. Acknowledging God's word and petition, asking for success when talking to the king. Now, I think those are good things for us to put in our prayers as well. Now, keep in mind passages like James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. And James 5:16, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So don't forget about God. Right? He doesn't always say yes, but I believe that there are so many things that he will not give us until we ask. And so one of the secrets to Nehemiah's success was his prayer life. Then Nehemiah's request in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And it came about in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it to the king. So Nehemiah had tried it, and he didn't drop dead. Now I had not been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, though you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart." And I was very much afraid. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever." There was a common way to address a king. "Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate and its gates have been consumed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What would you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said to the king, "If it please the king and if your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Then the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, maybe he was more generous when she was around, "How long will your journey be, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time. Well, after requesting materials from the king for the job, verse 8 says, "And the king granted them to me because the good hand of my God was on me." So this is about 4 months, right, after Nehemiah had received that bad news. It's believed to be around 445 B.C. And some people wonder, maybe the king had been out of town for those 4 months. All right, this guy, Artaxerxes I, he was the son of Xerxes or Ahasuerus. He was the king. Ahasuerus, his father, was the king in the book of Esther. And I read that the king's servants, they were normally not supposed to do this. All right? They were normally supposed to keep their feelings and their personal problems to themselves when they're around the king. He didn't want them, you know, blubbering and dripping tears in his wine and stuff like that. But here is the fourth quality of Nehemiah. He was afraid, verse 2. But he didn't allow his fear to keep him from doing what he needed to do. And notice how he said a quick, silent prayer. And then he did it. He made his request to the king. Nehemiah never allowed fear to dictate to him what he was going to do. And I'm ashamed, and I'm sure you feel the same, when I think of all the times in my life that I have allowed fear to keep me from something I should have or could have done. You remember God telling Joshua to be strong and courageous. You remember in the New Testament, we find passages like 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Well, everything worked out, and you'll notice from verse 8 that Nehemiah definitely believed in answered prayer. He definitely believed in the providence of God. In verses 9 and 10, we read about him going and how Sanballat and Tobiah, these were leaders from the surrounding area, they were not happy about it. But we'll talk about these guys more in a bit. So Nehemiah's inspection, verses 11 through 15. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and a few men with me. I did not tell anyone what my God was putting into my mind to do for Jerusalem. And there was no animal with me except the animal on which I was riding. So I went out at night by the valley gate in the direction of the Dragon's Well and on to the refuse gate, inspecting the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down and its gates which were consumed by fire. Then I passed on to the fountain gates and the king's pool, but there was no place for my mount to pass. So I went up at night by the ravine and inspected the wall. Then I entered the valley gate again and returned. And there are different ideas on where these places were located as they were remodeled and, you know, changed names through the years, things like that. So he went out at night and he surveyed the size and the scope of the project. He's apparently having a difficult time in some places because of all the rubbish and rubble. But this is the fifth quality. Good leaders do their homework and plan ahead. Don't just fly by the seat of your pants. Do your research and think before you act. I certainly agree with the sayings, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. In the book of Proverbs, it certainly talks about planning and getting advice and things like that. The idea that ignorance is bliss, that's not a good quality for a leader. Nehemiah's vision. Well, let's start with verses 16 through 18. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done, nor had I as yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the rest who did the work. Then I said to them, "You see the bad situation we are in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach." I told them how the hand of my God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, "Let us arise and build." So they put their hands to the good work. Nehemiah cast a vision for his followers. And he started by getting the officials on board. He knew that he needed their help to motivate the people. And first, he started with the facts, and then he suggested a course of action. So this is the sixth quality. Great leaders are people of vision who pass that on to their followers, pass that on to others. All right, verses 19 through 20. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, "What is this thing you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" Now, he actually worked for the king, and he had the king's blessing in this, but he went higher. So I answered them and said to them, "The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem." So as we can see, from the very, very beginning, I mean, he just got his people on board. The opposition arrived. And that needs to be expected. There will always be criticism. There will always be resistance whenever you try to do anything great. So again, these guys, they're leaders of the surrounding areas. And so, okay, what's their problem? Well, why can't they just mind their own business? Well, they obviously felt threatened by Nehemiah's arrival and apparently wanted Jerusalem to remain weak and to remain at their mercy. Now, some people wondered if they worried that it would interfere with their influence or their trade in the area, and there were probably a bunch of different political reasons. But I'm sure that you have noticed that there are some people who just don't like others around them doing well. It makes them feel better about themselves to keep others down. It's pretty sad. I like Nehemiah's response. He talked about his people's reliance on God and how they serve him and not these guys, and how it's really none of their business. And so a seventh quality is that Nehemiah stood up for his people. People, they need to know that their leader cares about them, that he's going to go to bat for them. All right, Nehemiah's workers, chapter 3. Now, we're not going to read this section, but in chapter 3, we find this list of the different people and the different places of the wall that they repaired. An eighth quality is that Nehemiah was good at organization and delegation. See, a great leader knows that he can't do it by himself. Also, Nehemiah, he obviously made sure that it was recorded. And I think this is another important quality of a leader, to give honor where honor is due. Romans 13:7. See, some leaders act like it's just all about them. But people need to be recognized. They need to be thanked for their work. You know, what happens when people start thinking that they're being taken for granted? And affirming people and recognizing what they have done, that can actually bring out the best in them, which is why they say that we should fairly regularly be giving praise to our spouse and our children and the others around us. You see, praise, and that's something we need to work on. Praise can cause a person to want to do better, to keep up the good work, do even better. When someone tells me, "Ty, you did a good job on that," man, I sure don't want to let them down the next time I do it. And so that is the ninth quality, the ninth good quality of Nehemiah. We can also see in the book that he made sure to always give the credit to God as well. All right, Nehemiah's opposition, chapter 4, verses 1 through 23. Well, let's just start with verses 1 through 6. "Now it came about that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite, who was near him, he said, 'Even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break it. He would break their stone wall down. Hear, O our God, how we are despised. Return their reproach on their own heads and give them up for plunder in a land of captivity. Do not forgive their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out before you, for they have demoralized the builders.' So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Now, in verses 4 and 5, that is what we refer to as an imprecatory prayer, not taking your own revenge, but asking God to do it for you, asking God to avenge you. Every leader faces opposition, and sometimes it starts out as verbal opposition like this, just a bit of ridicule, and then it ramps up. And then it can escalate to physical opposition, as we'll see in the following verses. But as you know, when the opposition comes, some people, they get so discouraged that it hinders their work, and they may even just give up altogether. They may just throw in the towel. But a great leader will keep on keeping on. And that is the 10th quality of Nehemiah, perseverance in the face of opposition. And just as a side, isn't it wonderful when people have, quote, a mind to work? I love it. All right, let's continue with verses 7 through 14. "Now when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on and that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry. All of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. But we prayed to our God, and because of them we set up a guard against them day and night. Thus in Judah it was said, 'The strength of the burden bearers is failing, Yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Our enemies said, they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work. When the Jews who live near them came and told us 10 times, they will come up against us from every place where you may turn, then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall and exposed places. And I stationed the people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And so we can see that they're dealing with fatigue, frustration, and fear. So how did they overcome? Well, verse 9, first, we can see that they prayed, and then they did what they could by setting up a guard. Now, I think that is a really good example for us. When difficulties come, don't freak out, don't give up. We just need to pray and then do what we can. We then find the 11th quality of Nehemiah. He was an encourager. So verse 14, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who was great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. It almost sounds like a Braveheart speech. Yeah? A great leader will be continually giving words of encouragement and reassurance to hang in there. Nehemiah, he reminded them about God and about their families. You see, the reason why they were doing this. Let's read verses 15 through 23. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plans, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. From that day on, half of my servants carried on the work, while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates. And the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand doing the work and the other holding a weapon. As for the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built, while the trumpeter stood near me. I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall far from one another. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we carried on the work, with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. At that time, I also said to the people, let each man with his servant spend the night within Jerusalem, so that they will be a guard for us by night and a laborer by day. So neither I, my brothers, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us removed our clothes. Each took his weapon, even to the water. So Nehemiah, okay, he had them do whatever it took to get the work done. Holding spears, listening for trumpets. I mean, we can see they didn't even want to get caught with their clothes half off. And working with one hand while holding a weapon in one hand and working with the other, I mean, it really paints this interesting picture. And some people like to apply it to us simultaneously defending the faith and building the church. But this is the 12th quality, to be hard-headed and persistent. Yeah, sometimes it takes extreme measures to get something done, but if it is important enough, a great leader will do whatever it takes. Now, we're not talking about compromising character and integrity. We're talking about tenacity and determination. Nehemiah's example, chapter 5, verses 1 through 19. Now, we're not going to read this, but in chapter 5, there was another problem that Nehemiah had to deal with, and it was regarding how some of the people were treating each other. A bunch of them were practicing usury. They were exploiting each other and lending at an exorbitant rate of interest. And so he brought them together and he dealt with the problem. So the 13th quality is Nehemiah was a troubleshooter. He didn't ignore problems and just hope that they'd go away. They usually don't. And part of dealing with the problem was to be a good example. The book mentions that he, at this time, he had been appointed governor of the land of Judah, and how he worked really hard not to be a financial burden to them, even though he could have demanded all kinds of things. And it talks about how he practiced hospitality and so forth. And so the 14th quality, finally, we get to number 14, is to be an example. Anyone can bark orders. We all feel the same about the saying, practice what you preach. Paul, he told Timothy to show himself to be an example of those who believe. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. And Peter, he told elders to be examples of the flock in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. All right, Nehemiah's success, chapter 6, verses 1 through 19. So chapter 6, you read about his success with the wall. After some attempts by his enemies to trick him and to capture or kill him, you see, they'd try to lure him somewhere, but he'd just say, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. When Satan or others try to distract us, well, I reckon that's a good response. I am doing a great work and I can't be bothered, okay? I cannot come down. We also find a very short and simple prayer that I think we ought to pray from time to time. Oh God, strengthen my hands. Where do we look for strength? In verses 15 and 16, it says, so the wall was completed on the 25th of the month, Elul, in 52 days. When all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations surrounding us saw it, they lost their confidence, for they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. And so they finished in less than 2 months, somewhere around our July to September. And from what I understand, for the most part, this wall lasted for over 500 years. It was still protecting Jerusalem in the time of Jesus. And I read that in 2007, archaeologists actually unearthed a 30-meter section of Nehemiah's wall. Well, I think we should all try to follow this example that Nehemiah showed us, either one way or another. Look, we're all leaders from time to time. And so here are those 14 qualities that I picked out. He cared about his people. He was willing to take on the task and step up to the plate. He was a man of prayer. He didn't allow fear to stop him. He planned ahead. He cast a vision for his followers. He stood up for his followers. He was good at delegating. He gave honor where honor is due. He persevered in the face of opposition. He was an encourager. He was hard-headed and persistent. He was a troubleshooter. He didn't just ignore problems. And he was an example to his followers. I'd like to conclude with the words of Theodore Roosevelt, our 26th president, which he gave in a speech in 1910. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. We may not be building up a physical structure for God's people, but we are definitely building up a spiritual one. And so, against the odds, like Nehemiah, Let's encourage our brethren to arise and build as we pray to God, strengthen my hands.